step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Ghost Hunting in New England.
Your favorite spooky podcast.
Hey guys, happy Wednesday and welcome to Ghost Hunting in New England with your hosts Amelia
and Beth.
And today we're doing something so fun. So we realized we have said for the last two episodes, next week we'll do the drive-by ghostings. Next week we'll do the drive-by ghostings. We were like, why not just do an entire episode of drive-by ghostings? So that's what we're here for today.
This should be super fun. We have audio files that people recorded and sent to us. We have all these sheets of paper all printed out that we're going to read some stories off of. Amelia has found some really incredibly spooky music to play while we're reading the stories. It should be great fun for everybody.
Yeah, we think this is just a fun thing. A lot of these came from paranormal investigators. Some of them just came from people sharing their own ghost story. And we even got one all the way from India, which is so exciting and cool. We're so happy.
Did you know we had people in India?
No.
I had no idea either.
Did you know we have people in Australia?
I did not know that, but we don't have a story from people in Australia, sadly, yet. They're going to send it to us.
We're going to have an Australian story next week. We were promised one, so we can't wait for that. And hello to everyone in the UK, which we found out we have a lot of listeners over there, but none of you submit stories, so you know, maybe next week.
Yeah, we're always in the market for your drive-by ghosting stories. And if you were wondering if your story is the type of story for a drive-by ghosting, you're going to find out tonight what other people are submitting. So you should have a pretty good model after tonight.
Let's just say if you're wondering if it's the right type of story for a drive-by ghosting, it absolutely is. It absolutely is.
Yes, it is.
Even if it's not ghosts, even if you want to tell us about like a black-eyed child, if you want to tell us about an alien, if you want to tell us about a vampire, please feel free. We're here for all of it.
We're interested in all of those stories. Black-eyed children scare me terribly.
They're really spooky. Shadow people. Oh, please send me shadow people. Just anything. Anything weird. If you have a Bigfoot story. You know, it's not ghosts, but whatever. We're not that serious. So...
I actually emailed the guy in Texas who wrote the original story about black-eyed children, asking if we could interview him. He never got back to me.
Bummer.
I know. Maybe I'll reach out to him again.
Okay.
All right.
Let's get started. Here is our first one. Some of these are voice recordings. Some of them are Beth and I reading. And I think you all might recognize this first guest.
Hi, Amelia and Beth. It's Will with the Long Island Paranormal Investigators again. I saw you guys were looking for listener stories, so I figured I'd give you one of mine. This happened at a location on Long Island. I was investigating with that team. It's called Sheep Pasture Park. Basically, the background, in a nutshell, real quick, is there's a abandoned factory on the grounds. We believe it was used to be like an aircraft building, like they built planes there. For a while, we thought it was an aluminum factory, but we found out later on it had something to do with building planes. Really not much backstory on it, but now it's a park with a very long, pretty wide trail going through the middle of it with a large open field as well. And it leads all the way back to the factory. It actually goes well past there, but we don't really investigate past that too much. The night in question, we went and weren't really expecting much from this place because it's always been kind of slow there. It's nothing huge or significant ever really happened. Maybe a couple EVPs or whatever. We weren't expecting much walking in this night. It was a team of about, I'd say maybe six or seven of us at the time. Really, when we were walking in, one of our members, Shannon, who's a psychic, we kind of just... or really not just her, but it was all of us. We walked in and pretty much hit this one spot on the pathway where it felt like we walked into a brick wall, where it's just a wave of energy, of not necessarily negative energy. People were feeling anxious at that point. We felt like we were being watched, and we definitely didn't feel like we were alone at the time. Once we got past that point, we knew we were going to be dealing with something at that point. But we stopped, and we started to investigate on the path. So we set up a camera on the part of the pathway, and then we backed off from it and we were watching it, and then people started seeing two red eyes throughout the woods. It'd be the kind of thing where you see it, and then as soon as you saw it, maybe you saw it for a second or two, and then it would go away and it would pop up somewhere else. We were dealing with that at the same time as we were hearing things and moving in the woods, which are usually animals, but a couple of us have really bright flashlights, and if you hear something in the woods like that, you light the place up with the bright flashlight, and you can usually see whatever animal it is might look back at you, and you see the reflection in their eyes from the flashlight. But we didn't see that really on maybe once or twice, but the majority of the time we were hearing the sounds, we weren't seeing any eyes back at us, apart from the red eyes that were really as high as 12 to 14 feet in the air in the trees, which was a little ridiculous. So anyway, you know, further down the investigation, like I said, we set that camera up on the trail, and we noticed that it kept turning off. Battery didn't die, it was just turning the camera off. It had enough memory, it had enough battery power. We really don't know why it was turning off, but we kept having it turn it back on. So we eventually dropped an audio recorder next to the camera, and we let both of them run at the same time just to see if we were going to pick up on anything. A little bit further down the investigation, we're still getting the same kind of activity. At that point, something changed in the atmosphere where it was myself and the girl Shannon. We were further down the path. We were probably the two closest to the factory that we were heading towards. I started to feel my emotions changing. When I go into an investigation, I always stay open. I stay, you know, try to stay positive, keep my head clear. I don't let things bother me, just in general. I just started to feel very angry. I felt antagonized, and I felt like I was being provoked by something further down the path that was just happened to go toward the fact. As soon as I felt it, it was very strange to me because I, like I said, my emotions don't change throughout an investigation. I'm not an empath. I'm not a psychic. I don't feel those ways. I don't feel anything that changes my emotions like that. So when I noticed it, I told Shannon. I turned to her and I said, I don't know why, but I feel really angry, and I feel like whatever's down this path, I need to go charge at it. I felt the need to fight whatever was ahead of me. At the same time I was feeling that, and it was like a movie. You couldn't script it any better, where I was telling her that on the other end of the pathway, the two investigators that were closer to the camera that we set up, on the opposite end of the walkway, I'd estimate about 100 yards from me and Shannon, another investigator, Mike, who's the leader of LIPI, he just screamed at the top of his lungs, just in anger, because I later found out that he was feeling the same exact thing in the opposite direction. Once we calmed down a little bit, you know, I was still feeling that anxious and the anger. You know, we regrouped a little bit. The second in command of the group kind of took over because the leader, Mike, was still feeling that angry, agitated state that I was feeling. So second in command took over. He said, all right, guys, whatever's here, you know, it feels like it's just drawing us away from each other. It's trying to pull the team apart. You know, we need to get ourselves together. We need to leave because we don't know what we were dealing with. Later on down the line, we've toyed with it being a demon, which I know you guys don't do demons. Later on, kind of ruled that out anyway, or possibly a djinn. But djinn are, in a nutshell, basically almost a demon from the Arabic culture. It's essentially the same thing, kind of. There's a lot to it, but I'm not going to go into that. But we think that might be what we were dealing with there, because it was kind of tricking us into pulling our team apart and separating us. On our way out, we have to pass that open field that Mike was getting agitated toward. As we were walking out, another investigator, Tom, looked out into the field as we were going out and saw something that he still doesn't talk about to this day. Whatever it was invoked a lot of fear in him, and if he felt intimidated by whatever it was out there. And whatever it was made him stop and, like, in his tracks, stop and look out into the field's head, say, what is that? But at the same time that he stopped and looked out, Dimitri came up next to him and said, you see that too, right? It was pretty significant that the two of them saw it at the same time and then confirmed it with each other separately without having to say anything about it. So once we finally exited the park, Mike and I were still feeling that agitated state. Others in the group were feeling fear, a wide mix of emotions. But whatever it was that was affecting us that night, I felt it all the way until we got into the cars and left, because I remember when we exited the park that I stopped, turned around, and I actually took a few steps toward the park to go back in. And I really don't remember why or, you know, what made me do that. I knew fully in my head that we needed to go, because we don't know what we're dealing with. But I just remember the urge and the actual action of taking a few steps and wanting to go back in before Dimitri, the second in command, said, "Hey, you know, what are you doing?" You know, we got back in the cars and left. So, hope that's a good story for you guys. If you have any questions about it, just let me know. I'm in contact with the podcast. So, thanks for letting me share, and I'll see you guys around.
Wild.
Yes. Thanks, Will.
Thank you so much, Will.
And can we talk a little bit about djinns? I know that we don't do demons, but I had not thought about djinns in years. And I'm not talking about like the beef eater type that you order in a martini. I'm talking about the fancy Scrabble word that starts with a D.
Yes, djinns are demons. Just your name from religion.
Well, when I think of like, you know, the genie from Aladdin, mm-hmm. or from I Dream of Genie.
Yeah.
Which, granted, are fictional shows, and I recognize that.
Yes.
But it's like a djinn does not have the same idea behind it and the same negative connotation that a demon does.
That depends which culture you're in. Many cultures is the exact same as demon. That's what it would translate to.
However, in American culture, when we think of a genie, genies are good. They give wishes.
Right, but that's like an appropriation.
So in our culture, a genie or a djinn would be a good thing, not necessarily a demon.
Right, but that's not from the culture it came from.
But you said depending on which culture you're in, different cultures.
Right, so djinns are recognized in the Muslim tradition. They're also recognized in different parts of Asian culture too.
Okay, so he thought maybe a djinn, maybe, but that is kind of an interesting idea that there was something so frightening out there in the field that his buddy Mike doesn't talk about whatever it was he saw.
That is interesting. It's also interesting when he was talking about the feeling of needing to charge at it, needing, like, he became overcome with these emotions, seemingly
aggressive,
not his
feelings.
Own.
Yeah.
So that's very interesting. But what I like about it is the eyes.
Those red eyes that they were, yes, seeing? I don't know that I would put it that I like the eyes. I think that that actually would have been terrifying, but I like the idea of the eyes.
Yes.
And that detail that he added to the story there.
Yeah.
It certainly adds.
That's an important detail.
It adds a bit of suspense to what were these eyes.
Yeah. Great story, Will. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Next story. We got a whole bunch, so we're just going to kind of fly on through.
Ghost story. Carbide and carbon building in Chicago. I thought I didn't have any memorable ghost stories aside from seeing floaters in the corners of my eyes, but I do have one strange experience that's worth recounting. In 2008, I was working as a production assistant on the Public Enemies movie, shooting mostly here in Chicago. It was a period movie, so we were always shooting in spots that still had great Art Deco looks to them. One such was the Carbide and Carbon building along Michigan Ave. Not as famous as other haunted hotels like the Drake or the Congress, it's a tall but narrow building that originally served as a regional office for the chemical company of the same name, constructed to resemble a champagne bottle. It's made out of a dark green granite with a gold top. It's currently been remodeled and is called the St. Jane Hotel. Prior, it was a Hard Rock Hotel. I'm having trouble finding records of it, but I seem to remember it was called the Hotel 21 when we were shooting there. Anyways, the crew was shooting in one of the top suites, and my job for literally the whole day was to manage the freight elevator and stop it from coming up to the set when we were rolling. Some of you may already know this trivia, but hotels back in the day did not have 13th floors. They were simply marked 12, then 14, skipping 13 because it was, quote, unlucky. Over the course of the day, I got to know a lot of the hotel staff. Sometimes they'd be stuck in the elevator with me for 10 minutes at a time as we rolled on a series of takes. Of course, at some point, I asked, "Is this place haunted?" And that's when I really got them talking. I'd say about 7 out of 10 of the staff that had worked overnights claimed they had gotten calls at the front desk coming from the phone lines on the 13th floor. They would hear a little girl's voice or whispers. Some of the staff called BS on them and said that's never happened. One of the staff who was really open about talking about the occurrences, I'll call him Dan, said that they're told not to talk about it because the 13th floor had been completely abandoned for years due to a fire that had broken out on it, allegedly killing an entire family of four. Some of the staff believes that it's the spirit of the little girl that calls the lines from it. The entire floor had been in broken disrepair, and there were no plans to renovate it. Dan had told me that the staff are asked to do sweeps of it just to make sure no one gets lost on the floor or hurt, because there's a lot of broken furniture and no lights. He said that they fight about who has to go up there for obvious reasons. The weirdest thing about it, he said, is that the elevator will randomly go up and stop on the 13th floor, no one having called it. The maintenance people either could not figure out what was wrong, or it wasn't a big enough priority to fix it. I took this with a grain of salt, because now I felt like I was reading a top 10 list of basic hauntings. Dan could tell by the look on my face, and I remember him saying, "You're gonna be here all night, right? You'll see." Around 1 a.m. in our 16th hour of filming, it was pretty quiet in the hotel. Most of the bustle of the day had died down, and my nausea of going up and down in the elevator had settled. As I'm half asleep, standing up, the elevator jumps to life and starts ascending. The 13th button lit. I was too confused to recognize it at first, but when the doors opened, I realized where I was. Just like Dan said, it opened into an empty hallway with a doorless room facing me. It was hard to see with the only light coming from inside the elevator. I was able to make out some trashed furniture and what looked like blackened scarring around the walls. I immediately started pressing the other buttons, and it took a good 30 seconds for the doors to finally close and for the elevator to start moving again. As you can imagine, those 30 seconds felt like forever, and I was worried that I was going to be stuck there. I have since tried finding out more information about the fire and the family that supposedly perished, but have come up dry. You also can't seem to find any information about this building being haunted, but maybe someone else can be a better internet sleuth than I. The St. Jane Hotel, as it currently stands, seems to want to market itself as a modern hotel with nicer accommodations, so I don't doubt there might be some filtering going on that end. But if you come back to Chicago, maybe here's a lead on a lesser-known spot to investigate. Happy hunting, Tyler.
Very well written, Tyler.
Thank you, Tyler.
That was a story that drew me in. I liked it.
Was it?
I thought it was good writing.
It had a lot of drama. He builds up in that story as it goes.
Very well written. And a great story.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
So it opens up on a dark 13th floor when no one's called the elevator to that floor. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I would be pretty terrified. 1 o'clock in the morning, staring into this broken, burned-looking hallway.
That's true. And he brings up another good point, which just because something is not on the internet does not mean it's not haunted.
This is true, too.
Because remember when we got that question about haunted covered bridges in New Hampshire?
Mm-hmm.
And we were like, not that we could find, but probably.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're an internet sleuther, or if you're one of...
Tyler, is it time to start Ghost Hunting in Chicago podcast? Is that what needs to happen? You need to bring these stories to the people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a good firsthand account.
That's a great one. That's really good.
But what I was actually going to say was, if there's anybody out here who's like old school research, who has the time to go to old libraries and look through old records and stuff like that, that would be a really interesting thing to find out.
Do you think they would have had that in old records?
Of course.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they?
Hmm.
Well, old records are, a lot of times, they're just people's diaries. And people wouldn't have been censoring that out of their own diaries.
That's so scary. If I die, don't publish my diary.
Well, it's not getting published.
I don't even have a diary. People can read it.
It's in the library.
Yeah, I don't like that. Don't put my thoughts in the library.
You're putting your thoughts all over the internet in the form of this podcast.
Not my deep thoughts. Not the extra eccentric ones. All right, next story. Here we go.
I think those of us that know you and listen to the podcast can probably make some educated guesses.
Well, we don't need to prove them. All right, here we go.
Hello, ghost hunters of New England. This is the Machinist, and this is how I talk. You might also know me as Normal Mike on Instagram. So I'm leaving the sanctuary of Satan's Kingdom and heading down to the purportedly haunted Eunice Williams Covered Bridge here in Greenfield. You heard about this bridge on a previous episode of the Ghost Hunting in New England podcast, and I am here on location. So for those who don't know who Eunice Williams is, Eunice Williams was killed at the site where the bridge stands now back in 1704. What happened was during a raid of Deerfield in February of the year, her and her family were taken captive and were being marched up to Canada. She was still very weak at the time from giving birth, and she collapsed in the Green River. And because of so, she was dispatched quickly with a tomahawk. The indigenous people who were marching about to Canada were under strict orders to kill any of the captives who were unable to make the journey. And normally her tale would end there, but it doesn't. Locals have claimed to have seen her ghost. Bum, bum, bum. Some say she'll reveal herself only to those who resemble her family. Others have claimed to see her in the water, just above or below the dam. And then there's others still who claim on a clear, moonless night, if you drive into the bridge, turn your headlights off, and honk your horn once, the ghost of Eunice Williams will either speak to you or appear in front of you. Right now, it's just about dusk. Tonight, the moon is waning. So there is a moon in the sky. It's not quite very dark, but there is some clouds. And I'm not sure if she's going to show, but what we're going to do is we're going to drive in the bridge and we're going to honk. So I got a couple of things going for me. I got my daughter with me.
Hi.
And Eunice Williams is actually a blood relative. She's my great-grandmother's mother was a Williams, and so she's like a crazy aunt. So you know how unpredictable crazy aunts are. So let's go to the honk. Let's go to the bridge now and honk. I'm sure nothing will happen. We're in the bridge. The headlights are off. We're going to honk once and see if anything happens. Beep. Uni? Uh-oh. Car coming. So there is no ghost.
Just the car.
Just the car. Okay, so creepy thing that happened when we were there. We were walking alongside the bridge to, you know, to check to make sure there was no Eunice on either side of the dam or anything like that. And then what happened?
We walked back to the car, and the tree that we were walking past, just like a branch of it just collapsed. And I was like, ooh, we're about to have some problems, because I thought it was a person.
It sounded huge.
It sounded like it was either a bear who is dying or a human being who just fell out of a tree. And the 50-50 I thought was, we're almost about to get killed from this human who thinks they're playing a game. Like, for example, in Riverdale. Or they're dead, and they're dead.
Okay, so, but we survived.
Yeah, obviously.
That was awesome! I'm sorry, I don't mean to shout.
That was incredible. We don't play favorites on Drive-By Ghostings.
No, definitely not.
Definitely not. We definitely don't. But that was, I would say, pretty awesome.
That was pretty awesome.
That was, if you all want to do stuff like that, please do it all the time. Take your kids, take your, anyone. Take, oh my gosh.
Don't pick up random hitchhikers on the road and take them with you. We'll get to a story about hitchhikers.
Oh my gosh. What a cool dad. That was awesome. And to be related.
I know.
To be in New England?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Knocked it out of the park.
And how funny was he when he was like, oh, something's happening. Oh, it's a car coming up behind us. Oh, that was so funny.
Oh my gosh. That, mwah, brilliant. So good.
Excellent. We might have to have them in as guests.
So good. We might. They're close.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's Greenfield, what, 2 hours
oh
from
here? Oh my God. We need to go to that bridge with them because they're the blood relatives. It says that sometimes she only shows herself to blood relatives.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, so, Mike and daughter, what are you doing maybe like next weekend? Like,
next weekend.
Yeah.
We're around. Our next story, titled Weird and Unsettling, 2012, a Wayland grocery store. I was working late like I had done hundreds of times, but this night I was totally by myself. I was done and the place was completely locked up. I was walking out down the aisle when something behind me fell off the shelf. I turned around and picked it up, then continued when two more items fell on the floor. Once again, I turned around to pick them up. Continuing walking, when five more items fell, all from different places on the shelves. I said out loud, "You pick them up," when another fell to my left side about 4 feet in front of me. My time was spent running for the door, then running to my truck to get the hell out of there. Next day, I asked a couple of people. They looked at me as though I was crazy. Didn't talk about it until now. Signed, Anonymous.
Wow.
Spooky. We love a good haunted grocery store.
Yes, and you can refer back to episode 2, The Market Basket.
Yes. Yes, you can.
Usually you add something pithy, but...
I didn't have anything.
So interesting, they held on to it for 7 years before they're going to talk about it.
Yeah, and you know, if you're holding on to something, feel free to write it to us and tell us about your ghost story. Get it off your chest.
That must have been so cathartic.
We will never, ever look at you like you're crazy.
We won't even tell people who you really are.
We won't.
You don't even have to tell us.
You don't.
Or just make up a name.
Make up a name. Haunted in Arkansas. Spooked in Nashville.
Oh, spooked in Nashville. I like that.
Crazed.
In California?
In California.
Or Colorado?
And wouldn't you know it, Beth, we have another grocery store story.
Excellent. This one's title, Where's the Music Coming From?
Ooh.
Hingham, Mass., fall 2013. I worked an overnight shift doing a deep cleaning of racks at a grocery store. I thought there would be others working too. I was alone and went to the business of cleaning the racks. For some reason, the music that plays over the speakers was off, which didn't bother me because I found most of the music painful to listen to. About 3 hours into the cleaning, I heard a piano off in the south tower of the store playing. At first, it didn't really register, but when I went to investigate, it stopped. I went back to work and it started again. I walked fast over to where it was coming from, again it stopped. While walking back to my task a second time, I felt a cold feeling, but a positive feeling at the same time. I heard the music again and continued working, trying to make out the song. Never did, and asked the people in the morning, who sometimes work an overnight, if they ever heard the piano playing. They said no. I wasn't afraid, just startled, and I never heard the music again.
Spooky.
What is it about grocery stores?
I don't know. They're big.
They are big.
So you could, I don't know.
But it's not like a lot of people have lived in grocery stores, and I mean, typically, I think that we're going on the theory that a spirit is somehow attached to a location or an item. Or,
yeah.
So what is going on in these grocery stores that is causing some sort of spirit to show up?
Have I ever told you what my absolute favorite pastime is?
Possibly.
Going grocery shopping. I would haunt a grocery store. I love it. I do. I love it.
I also love grocery shopping, but I don't think I would haunt the grocery store. If I pull cereal and I put it in the cart and I get over to like the bread aisle and I'm like, I don't even like cereal. Nobody in my house eats cereal. I'll just leave it with the bread.
It's interesting you say that. I have a theory that no one eats cereal anymore.
But there's an entire aisle of it.
Well, that is the weird part about it. Who's eating cereal anymore?
Ghosts. The ghosts are eating the cereal.
Could be. Could very well be.
And we have all these haunted grocery store stories. And I would be curious, that first grocery store story that we heard, mm-hmm. What were the items that were falling off the shelves? Were they like little packages of coffee? Were they like cans of pineapples?
So in my imagination listening to it, mm-hmm. I was imagining cans.
You were See, I was not imagining cans because they make a lot of noise. And
yeah.
Thinking something like small, like cookies.
I love cookies.
I would be in serious trouble between the donuts, and if cookies started jumping off the shelf at me, we'd probably have an issue.
Yeah. Yummy. Okay, next story. So this next story comes to us from our good friends over in India. Beth, do you want to tell us a little bit about what we're going to hear in this one?
I do. Because it is from India and the speaker does have a heavy accent, I just want to kind of fill in a couple of the things, kind of front load you with some information going in here. The first is that this is going on in 2017 in Calcutta, India. There are some objects moving and some chairs moving around, and the speaker here talks about using his spirit box, his EVP recorder, and his K2 meter.
Also, he sprinkles powder on the floor to see if there are any footsteps that go through.
Yes, he does. So then the client that he's going and meeting with is concerned that they're having some hallucinations. So he's going to talk a little bit about that as well. But I just wanted to put that out there in case you're having any sort of difficulty understanding him. Your other option, of course, is to always back it up and listen to it a second time. But it's a really interesting story.
Yeah, and this is from one of the investigators for, and I'm sure I'm saying this wrong, but I'm going to try to say it, Batanagar Paranormal Society, and you spell that Batanagar Paranormal Society, because at one point he's going to tell you he has a lot of this recorded on his YouTube channel, so you can go there and check it out.
Well, thank you for giving me the chance to share my experience with you guys all. I just want to share one of them, which is really impressive and never forgettable event, actually. It was 2017. We got a case from Khordha, Kolkata. After got the case, it's quite interesting that client claimed that in their house, there are some paranormal activities happened, like object movement and also some footsteps and so on. So finally, when we get that case and we thought that visit that case, visit the client place, obviously. And after that, when we trying to communicate with that space by echo box or by some EVPs, we cannot find anything more than 1 hour. But after that, 1.5 hour, we got some response on our K2 meters, which is used for as EMF measurement, and also got some EVP recording. Like in their house, actually, what happened? The client claimed that their grandma is alive even after her death. She doing this kind of paranormal activities like object movements, chair movements, footsteps, and sometimes full body appearance. When we trying to communicate with that space or with the grandma, we got some EVPs, some intelligent EVPs. Obviously, it's like a class A EVP. And when we ask that if you know that you are dead, then can you please confirm that what's your grandchild name? And the answer is came, and the perfect and the class A EVP, I must say. And the next thing, when we trying to communicate with EMF or K2 meter, we got some spikes. Obviously, it's intelligent because it's happened only after our command. There are two places, there are two bedrooms, and this is this all happened in one bedroom. But the next bedroom, which is quite impressive and really interesting, which is not memorable, as we as client claimed that in their house they feel some footsteps, like this kind of things. So we try to use powder on the floor and call the spirits or provoke or the challenge the spirits to come here and give some signs of your presence. After 3 to 4 minutes, we got two full leg footprint on our powder, which is really impressive. And this video, obviously, in our YouTube channel, you guys can watch that video and let us know that what's your point of view in this case. And it's really memorable. And after that, when the client understand that yes, there has no any hallucination or psychological disorder, this is real paranormal activity, they understand that, oh yes, they appreciate with us about their presence and respect. When we try to say that you guys are comfortable with or you guys agree with the clean sign, and they say no, we like our grandmother presence and we don't want to mess up with these kind of things. So we said okay and leave that place. So that's the great experience we have ever seen in my life during the investigation. This is footprint case. So thank you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed. Thank you.
Freaking sweet. We got an in from India. That's so cool. Thank you so much for sending that in. That was awesome and informative.
Yes, thank you.
We love the similarity. Like, ghost hunting is going on all over the world.
Mm-hmm. And they asked a question that you have also asked in some of your EVPs, which was, do you know you're dead?
Yes.
And so after that, he talked a little bit about he was only able to get spikes on his K2 meter after answering questions.
Yep.
Or after asking questions. So mm-hmm. Like, how? I don't know that we've ever tried to get responses to questions with a K2 meter. I think that every time we've done it, it's been we were just recording with our EVP recorder, but we didn't, like, have the K2 meter out at the same time. That could be something that we might try in the future.
Yes.
So I feel like that's another thing that we get from these drive-by ghostings is that, like, if we hear from other investigators, we can always get new ideas, and hopefully people are getting ideas from us as well.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that was so great. Oh, I'm so happy. So just to give everyone a little teaser, too, kind of related. Earlier today, and we're not going to talk about it except for a little bit right now on tonight's episode, but we will talk about it in a future episode. We actually had a footprint today that we found.
Yes. And so it was stunning to hear this particular recording talking about footprints in the powder when earlier today we saw what was clearly a child's footprint in no powder, but it was
The footprint was the powder.
It was strange. And it was in a place where there would not be children.
Not barefoot children, that's for sure.
And there were no other foot. There was just this one footprint.
One footprint. It's as if someone dipped their one foot in flour, took one step, and that was it.
Flew over, dropped their foot in that one step, and then flew away.
So we are going to talk about that on a future episode. So there you go. Okay, on to the stories. From the crypt of Instagram.
That was pretty funny, actually.
AKA someone DM'd us. Hello. I wanted to stop here and write to you guys and let you know I started listening to your podcast yesterday. And since then, I have been enjoying it. I love the dynamic you guys have and the stories you tell. We could have cut that part out, but we won't.
Yeah, we didn't actually write this story to ourselves or anything, but Amelia definitely, she voted on keeping it in.
Yeah, I mean,
there are certain things I'm just not going to fight about.
Amelia, what can you say? Also, I wanted to tell you guys, oh, we're back on the story. Also, I wanted to tell you guys a story that happened to me when I was little. Back in the day, I used to live in an apartment in New York with my aunt, cousin, and my aunt's husband. One night, I was sleeping. Me and my cousin, we used to sleep together in the same room. I opened my eyes and I see this tall white man standing in front of me, but at a distance from my bed. He was tall, his clothes were all white. He was a young man, like in his 30s. He appeared every night, and I was the only one that could see it, because I said before, I used to sleep with my cousin, and she never saw this entity. I was the only one that could see him. Every night, he just stood there and looked at me. He never harmed me in any way. He never spoke to me or anything. He just looked at me. So every night I cried, because I didn't want to sleep in that room. One day, when my aunt went to pick me up from school, she told me that when she was at the house alone, she saw the same man I was seeing in the room, and she told him to leave, and after that, I never saw him again. Later on, I told my mother about this, and I described how the man looked, and she told me that she used to see the same man when she was pregnant with me, and that he used to do the same thing and just stood there and looked at her. I just wanted to share this with you guys, and if you could tell this story on your podcast as well. Like I said, I love your podcast and keep up the good work. I'm 28 years old now, and I still remember this mysterious man every now and then. It's engraved in my mind. From Pamela.
Wow, Pamela, thank you for the story. That would be really unsettling as a child to think that every time you were going to sleep, somebody was going to be standing there watching you and that you are the only person who can see them. So not only are you frightened of this person, but you're a little bit frightened of your own sanity at the same time. Why am I the only one who can see this?
And then to get that confirmation from your aunt and your mother when mm-hmm. you're older,
mm-hmm.
that's spooky.
Well, and I like how she said that the aunt saw him and just told him to leave, and they never saw him again.
Yes.
Like, I feel like we talked about that with Tim last week, mm-hmm. and we've talked about that before, like when we went to Beverly, mm-hmm. about just asking the spirit to go.
Yep.
And so, again, another story where it works.
Yes, that was a great story. Thank you so much. And thank you so much for the compliments and for listening to us.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we're definitely all about compliments.
Yeah, please send us more compliments. Okay.
Have you gotten any of those shirtless pictures yet?
Yeah, I'm done dating. I don't care anymore. Tim was right. I got ghosted. No, it was a mutual ghosting. We stopped talking. It's not really ghosting. We both just...
You ghosted each other.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Anyway, if you listen back to our Wyndham episode.
No. We don't need to bring that up.
Amelia is looking for shirtless pictures.
Amelia's not looking for anyone.
She'd like for you to be wearing pants, but.
Okay, Beth, are you ready to read our next spooky story?
I can absolutely read the next story. Our next story is untitled. How did we get this story, Amelia? This is from Bryce.
We got this story in the Unbeliever Network pre-show.
Really?
Yes. If you are an Unbeliever, there is a group called the Unbelievers Network, and they play our podcast every week as the pre-show before the Unbelievable podcast comes out.
They do?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you for doing that.
We're actually going to read a story. Our last story is going to be from the guy who does that, so thank you. And thank you, Bryce, so much for sending me this.
So this story, as I said, is untitled, but here it goes. Where I lived in Wilmington, North Carolina, there was a lot of Civil War history and Native American history around the area. I was sleeping on my friend's couch. My buddy woke up in the middle of the night and said there was a man standing over him with a cowboy hat on. He came running down the stairs to the kitchen on the first floor over by where I was sleeping. He explained to me that there was a man standing over him whispering into his ear. The next morning, the other roommates woke up and overheard us talking about what happened. All four of us that were there had that night woke up to an old man whispering in our ears. That's when he explained to his roommates that there was an old man standing over him the night before. We found out there was a cemetery around that area where a lot of unknown Civil War soldiers were buried. The only thing my buddy remembered was the man had a really mad facial expression. I can really remember the old man. I thought it was a dream until my friend told me what happened to him. That house was haunted as hell. They have a lot of other stories. I'll have to ask him. This happened about 10 years ago. Bryce. Thank you, Bryce.
Thank you. I love that story.
I'm a big history buff, so I definitely like, obviously, ghost hunting, but...
I knew you would like that one, because it does have history involved.
And have you been to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania?
No.
I went once when I was much, much younger. I would definitely like to go back there again. I feel like it would be similar to that North Carolina story.
Yeah, very haunted, very spooky. And I like in this one how, like, multiple people were involved.
And they all saw the same scary dude looking at them.
Yep.
Who looked mad. Clearly, he was unhappy that they were there.
Spooky.
And if he hangs around there all the time, I mean, he's saying that there's other stories.
Bryce, you got to send us your other stories.
Yeah. Or at least, you know, like a story from each person who's ever had a haunted experience in that house. We could definitely use a lot of stories.
It's true. We have so many episodes coming up and we need to add some more drive-by ghosting. So send one every week.
Send two. It's all right.
Okay. You ready for our next spooky story?
I sure am. This next story is titled A Bama Story from the Gram. 6 years ago, I moved from Mississippi to Alabama to be with the love of my life. I moved into his 80-year-old dairy farmhouse where his family lived for generations. I've never heard voices or seen any ghosts, but other strange and spooky stuff has happened. Our bedroom seems to be the main place the activity happens. There is trouble with the lights in that room. They will turn themselves on after we turn them off and leave the room. Or the lights will just turn off when we're sitting in the bedroom and no one is near the light switch. The bedroom door has a habit of opening itself after we've closed it and even tugged on the latch to make sure it's tight. One afternoon I came home to find little black crayon marks all over the bedroom floor. They didn't spell anything or make any symbol I recognized, but they were just a bunch of precise little marks all over the floor. To the best of my knowledge, there weren't even any crayons in our house. But the most obvious thing that happened was one night when I was laying in bed and I had taken the blanket off and put it down towards my feet. About 5 minutes later, the blanket was slowly pulled back up over me by some invisible hands. I've never been scared in the house. Okay, I was a little scared when the blanket thing happened, but I said a little prayer and asked God to be with me. And my husband says it is the spirit of his great-grandma who lived there once. He says his great-grandma was real funny and playful and a loving person. I've never much believed in ghosts, but there have definitely been some strange things happening here. From Ricky in Alabama.
Spooky.
Now, do we think that Ricky might have a poltergeist?
I don't know.
There was deep thought going on there.
Yeah, I really thought about that one. It depends on your definition of poltergeist. Many people have many different definitions.
Okay.
So I think one definition is that a poltergeist is any spirit who can move any item.
Okay.
Some people believe poltergeist is numerous spirits, kind of like just a big flow of energy. It has a lot to do with being within a vortex. So okay. Kind of similar to the movie Poltergeist.
Okay.
Some people, we actually had someone comment on our Instagram not that long ago saying they felt poltergeist, it had to be connected to a young child.
Okay.
So some sort of child with an ability to work with spirit or mediumship or whatever.
All right.
So yeah, I think it depends on your definition.
Okay.
It's definitely a spirit with a lot of energy.
Yeah. And it definitely seems loving if it's pulling the blanket back over her to make sure she's not cold at night.
Yes.
I would have screamed and probably run.
I would not have been happy.
Yeah.
No.
It was a great story, though.
It was a great story. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you, Ricky from Alabama.
Okay, so our next story comes from a good friend of the show who you guys haven't met yet, but we're going to have her on very soon. And this is medium Tenny Kumar, and she works very closely with Boston Paranormal Investigators. And you are going to hear Tenny bring up something in her story that we do not approve of.
Are there demons in this story?
No, but we are going to have Tenny come on to discuss demons at some point.
But we don't do, hashtag, we don't do demons.
We don't, but Tenny does, and she has a very interesting take on it that I think our listeners would be appreciative.
Is there a Ouija board?
I have to listen and find out.
Oh, I'll take that as a yes. All right, take it away, Tenny.
Okay, so I'm here on the phone with psychic medium Tenny Kumar. Yeah, tell me your best ghost story.
Tell you a ghost story. Well, oftentimes it's not the house that's haunted. It's the people who are haunted, and I'm a real good example of it personally. I'm an older person, and I've had a lot of family members die and friends and other such people like that. So everything starts to add up. And I do have one person who died less than 3 years ago, and he is quite active in my house at times. And I'm going to give you what just happened yesterday. It was a man that I was with. I was his companion for many, many years. And he had a hobby. He liked to own and rebuild antique Italian sports cars, and he owned five of them. So this weekend was, and today was, the Concours d'Elegance up in Beverly, Massachusetts. You know, it's pretty hot this weekend. We had insane heat up to about like 100 almost, and I was thinking, should I make this 55-mile trip to see the partial showing yesterday's Saturday, because today I had a spiritualist church service to do and I would not be able to go. And I got up in the morning about 8:30 and got my pendulum out before I even got any tea in me or coffee, and asked it a bunch of questions. And eventually what came through was my mother being a killer saying, stay home and finish cleaning the house. So that was the mode that I was on. And then by 9:30, the infamous smoke detector goes off, screaming fire, fire, fire. Now, what is this all about? Ever since John died about 2.5 years ago, whenever he wants to talk to me, there's one smoke detector in the house that he turns off. That he turns on. It's really nuts because I can yell his name and cuss at it and swear and say, shut up, and it stops. We're not talking just beep, 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 my battery needs to be changed. Number one, these units were hardwired in. Yeah, they do have backup batteries, but that hardly happens anymore. This one is a new unit because I couldn't get it to shut up initially. It has a lithium battery. Well, at the moment, it's sitting on my dining room table instead of at the foot of the stairs as you walk into the house, because I had a guest here about a month ago, and he didn't like that person, and he was causing the usual state of chaos. So here I am at 9:30 in the morning. The possibility of me making a good hour-plus trip to see these cars was in my mind, and he is affirming, I want you to go. I want you to go and touch any Italian car from that time period for me. It goes off at 9:30, and it goes off to confirm what he wants to have happen at 9:45. And I know what's going on. I know this is what he wants me to, like, do. And then frequently I have to sit down with a friend of mine and use the Ouija board, which I am off to do, and he enjoys coming in on that and talking. His death was not exactly pleasant, so it took many months to calm him down from how he went, you know, as compared to someone else. So anyway, I made the trip up there. It was hot as all heck. You know, it's about 98 degrees, yes. The Concourse d'Elegance did have some cars there, maybe a third of what they had today. I walked around, and the cars that I knew that he would like, I just simply touched. And then after hanging out for a while, I went to the ladies' room, and I'm in the bathroom, and I hear him say, "I want you to go put your hand on the steering wheel of the Lancia." Now, that is an Italian car that they haven't made for quite some time. And that car was parked right next to the door, and the windows were down, and it was a white Lancia. His Lancia was dark blue. He didn't care. He wanted to touch me, to touch the steering wheel. So I got out of the bathroom, and the owner is driving away with the car. So I did my best. I did my best. Also, another friend also has a car like what he used to have. He's getting ready to go out to Lime Rock, and the smoke detector in his house, Lime Rock is a racetrack in Connecticut that does a lot of the antique car races. Dan was getting ready to go out there, and at 4:30 in the morning, the smoke detector and hallway went off too. So it's not only me. He's been messing with other friends of his smoke detectors about various incidents. So I guess you would say at this point he is a hungry ghost, which means he still desires the earth plane and has not totally calmed down.
That's wild. That's great.
Well, it's a pain, you know, like you're asleep and you know, and the thing goes off over your head. So
yeah, that's true.
It's really annoying.
But kind of nice though. Your friend's still around.
Excuse me?
I said it must be a little nice though, knowing you still got your friend there.
Yeah. And from what I think, from talking to many other people about other types of poltergeist activity with loved ones, people they know who's dead, who've died, I think most people calm down after about 3 years. You know, sometimes it's not the house that's haunted, it's the people who are. So I am, and I live with it. It's fine. It's fine. It's crazy, but it's fine. Alrighty, have fun.
Thank you. What'd you think of that, Beth?
There was a lot going on in that story.
There was.
There were smoke detectors.
Yes.
And cigarette smoke. And
yes.
Cars and.
Yes.
A lot.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Tenny. That was awesome. And I think we have a lot of accounts of smoke detectors going off. You said one went up when you were at your mother's.
When I was in Prince Edward Island in Canada. Yep. Pretty sure I had a smoke detector go off to let me know I was wrong. There actually is a ghost in the house, but.
The scariest ghost story I ever have involves a smoke detector.
Why don't ghosts like smoke detectors?
No, ghosts do like smoke detectors.
Why don't they like us, I don't know, sleeping? Because smoke detectors are really loud. That's the problem.
They really want to get someone's attention.
Well, I suppose, but.
What do spirits do? They mess with the electricity. All right. And we are definitely going to have Tenny on as a guest soon. We tried to book her a few weeks ago, but we're going to do it sometime in the future because she is a delight and an awesome, amazing, cool person, even outside of the fact that she's a ghost hunter and a medium and a witch. She's so cool. Mm-hmm. I really like Tenny. And we don't always see eye to eye on how we go about talking to spirits or ghost hunting, but can't agree with everyone. Sometimes it's good to be around people with opposite opinions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Are we ready for our last story?
I think we are.
All right. One New Year's Eve after dinner, I was in a van and we were driving down a rural industrial road. It was 7 p.m., dark and empty. There was a big area between the sidewalk and the road, normally grass, but covered in light snow. There was a young woman. She looked like she was in her late teens or early 20s. Just standing in the middle of that medium. There were no bus stops in the town. No homes on the road. No one else around. She was wearing an almost too perfect dress and black jacket with a long scarf. She lifted one leg and began to spin like I've only ever seen a figure skater on ice spin. It was more rotations than I'd ever seen anyone do on the ground, and she stopped perfectly when she was finished. It was... weird. I insisted on us driving by her again, so we drove down the road, and I watched from the back window of the car as we passed her from behind. I looked at her, and she barely lifted her wrist and waved at me from the side of her hip and smiled. I was freaked out. We drove back to my friend's house, and just a few minutes later, her older sister came in with her friends, freaking out about the creepy girl in the road. From Brad.
Wow.
So, Brad is an awesome guy and a good friend of our show, and thank you so much, because he promotes us a lot with the Unbelievers podcast, and he's very cool. And thank you for that story. And when I first read that story, when he first gave it to me, I had the creeps. I was, like, creepy crawlied.
So... As you were reading that, because I haven't heard it before, this is one of the beautiful things that we do when we do stories, is that Amelia and I haven't always heard all the stories, so we do get some authentic reactions here. But I was thinking Lady in White stories, that it's just this, okay. that was where I went first. And then as you were going on, I was thinking, oh, is she going to be a hitchhiker? And we haven't done hitchhiker stories, but hitchhiker stories are very similar to Lady in White stories. They just happen to be different looking entities. They're not always a lady in white, but they
usually will... a man.
Usually a man.
Yeah.
But then the sister saw it as well?
Yeah, and the other people in the car saw it too.
Oh.
Very scary.
Are they sure it wasn't a real person?
Spinning like that fast?
I don't know. I'll give you a weird.
Very scary.
Yeah.
It scared me. I'm scared right now thinking about it. And I happen to know, and I'm not going to say where in the world this is, but I do happen to know this occurred in an old Mennonite town.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Which I don't know if that makes it spookier to me because I don't know a lot about Mennonites.
All right.
You know, it's like when like something spooky happens down by the Amish, like it just feels spookier. There's not a lot of electricity.
I guess. I don't find the Amish to be particularly spooky.
What was that TV show that was on about, like, spooky Amish stories?
I have absolutely no idea.
Well, I watched it, and it was spooky.
Oh. Well, there's been a real influx of Amish people up on Prince Edward Island, and they're just lovely.
At my old coffee shop, we had a lot of Mennonites come in, okay. And they were fantastic, and they were so pleasant, so nice,
mm-hmm.
So gracious, everything. Yeah, they were really wonderful.
Little spine tingling.
I love that story. Thank you, Brad. That was so spooky.
Thank you, Brad. And thank you to everyone else who sent these terrific stories. And we're so happy we were able to really get as many of them on one episode as we could.
Yes, that was great. And thank you so much to Mike for taking his daughter out and doing a spooky mini ghost hunt.
I don't know. How long was it? It was like a 4-minute.
It was like a 4-minute ghost hunt that he gave us. It was great.
Yeah. I mean, that's even faster than our powder house ghost hunt.
Yeah. And they got more than we did.
Yeah, definitely. They got a tree that almost killed them. Absolutely appreciated every single one of these stories. And we hope you, our listeners, appreciated them as well. And now you're thinking, oh, this is all a drive-by ghosting is? I have a story like that. And you're going to record it and send it, and we can pepper other episodes with them.
Well, I know after I get all spooked, I like to kind of lighten the mood for myself a little. And usually it's with The Office, seasons 1 through 4. But let's do some fun transition music to get us out of this total spooky mood to finish up what we need to talk about. So you're already laughing. It's fun.
Amelia's chair dancing. There's like some head banging going on.
Tequila! All right, here we go. What else do we need to talk about tonight?
I don't know that we have anything else really to talk about. I think...
I have some stuff to talk about.
Oh, all right. Well, why ask me then?
Oh, maybe you had some other stuff
too. I never have anything new to talk about. I usually just talk about it.
Okay, so as we mentioned last week, we're now officially on Boston Free Radio. So you can always tune in and listen to us on there. It'll be whatever our latest episode is. And we have the 10 p.m. slot on Wednesday nights. So if you really like Boston Free Radio, feel free to check us out Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. And please check out everyone else on there too, because everyone here does a good job. As we mentioned before, Somerville Media Center, where we record, it offers very extremely affordable classes. rentals, space for people. And that's so cool of them. They do a tremendous job for the community. There are a lot of other people who create here. And yeah, please always support the arts in every way possible. And yeah, should we go on to five-star reviews, Beth?
We have more reviews.
We have one review.
Oh, we have one review. All right.
So please leave us more reviews. This is from Normal Mike. Title, Ghost Might Be a Kind of Topa. I agree with that. I had some sushi and it disappeared on me, but I thoroughly enjoyed this podcast. I enjoy Amelia's playfulness and Beth's seriousness. They're really good at it. I wish a ghost was my dad. Well, thanks so much, Mike. I wish Bigfoot was my dad.
What does he mean I'm the serious one?
Are you serious?
I'm serious?
Yeah, you're serious.
Oh, I didn't know I was serious.
I'm playful.
Oh, well, according to Normal Mike. Thanks, Normal Mike.
Yeah, thank you so much. That was so cool of you. We really appreciate it a lot. And if you are listening to this and you haven't left us a five-star review yet, please do. That would really help us a lot. Getting our name out there, get people to listen to us. That would be super awesome. We'd really, really appreciate it.
Amelia was showing me last week that when you go to the podcast store on an iPhone and you type in Ghost H, where we pop right up. But I think that means like maybe we're catching on a little.
I know we have way more listens than I thought we were going to have by this point.
That's an excellent point.
We have significantly more than I thought we were going to have 2.5 months in. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening to us. It's incredible and humbling. And thank you. And we really hope you're enjoying our podcast. And please be sure to tell your friends about it. Because as we learned today from our anonymous writer who told us their story about the grocery store, people you know have ghost stories and they're scared to tell people.
Yeah.
They have it. Most people have a ghost story.
Held it in for 7 years.
Yes. So, you know, just tell your friends about this podcast. It's like, if you're like nervous, if you're like, oh, I don't want to tell my friends I have a ghost story. You could be like, oh, hey, I like this silly podcast out of New England. And yeah, you should listen to it. The girls have nice voices. And then like it gets the ball rolling.
Give them another sample of Amelia's voice, not that particular part.
That was an impression. You want to hear another impression?
Is it a pigeon? The pigeon has returned.
If you haven't left us a five-star review yet, please do. Please do not leave us a one-star review. That's so lame. Just send us a direct message letting us know what we can do to make the show a little better for you.
Yeah, leaving us a one-star review, that's harsh. So harsh. I'm going to start the contact. I'm going to do the contact info backwards this week.
Okay.
So you can email us, ghosthuntinginnewengland@gmail.com. You can check us out on our website, www.ghosthuntinginnewengland.com. Are we updating that regularly?
No.
No?
No.
We have a website. It may be out of date.
I'll start updating it. That's okay. Fine.
Sure.
Oh, I have something else to announce.
Okay, go ahead.
I forgot about this. My very good friend, Kat Kiernan, she owns a magazine called Don't Take Pictures. And if you like photography and art and good writing and everything like that, please go check them out. It's Don't Take Pictures, www.don'ttakepictures.com. That is not relevant to the show. What is relevant is that I am helping her right now work on an article on haunted museums around the world. Very cool. I've been having a lot of fun helping her with this, and it's really cool. And the issue is going to come out this fall, and we're going to have her on, and we're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds good.
Woo.
Back to contact info?
Yes.
All right. You can find us on all of the social media platforms. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Although if I'm truly doing this backwards, I need to do it this way. We are on YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. I would say Instagram is our most updated.
Yeah, I really like Instagram, so I'm on there a lot.
Yeah. And I know that I post pretty much everything that I post directly to Instagram. And sometimes it makes it to Facebook, but not always.
Okay.
Yeah. Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
Okay. And when you go into a restaurant, if they offer to seat you in a booth, please don't ask for a table. The tables are out in the middle and they're in the way. Just sit in the booth.
Who wants to be in a table instead of a booth?
My mom.
Rhonda. Aunt Rhonda, booths are so much more comfortable.
They are.
They give you added privacy.
Mm-hmm. The tall back to it.
What? I've never heard of anyone wanting a table instead of a booth.
And you always get tripped over by people as they're like trying to navigate around you.
Oh my goodness. Rhonda. All right, guys, that's all we got for this week. Have a great Wednesday.
Happy hunting.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.